How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors, as early as stage 1, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sigil self-destruct. What time is it?
It's Football Friday, brought to you by Video Only.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll 'em.
Getting you ready for the football weekend. This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, Football Friday on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. If you don't, you'll be sorry. On 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. And The Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hello. Good Football Friday, everybody.
180!
Oh, yes, indeed.
180! 180! 180!
185! What's that? Here we come! Here we come! It's a man's game now!
What the heck? Yeah! Yeah! 180! What the heck? Heck! Terrible!
So good.
Somebody jump offside!
Here we go.
Here we go indeed.
What is happening? We made it. We did it.
I need to clean up the drops on that one. Some of those are a bit long.
Turbos.
Damn.
Somebody jump off sides, man. Come on. It felt good to do it last week, but it didn't really feel real. This week it feels real for everybody.
Yeah, it does feel real this week. I wasn't in last Friday, but I can imagine it was an odd one because you had an Ireland game and a couple games that like didn't really matter all that much.
Yeah, there's a few games across the slate, but we weren't playing. Our teams weren't involved, and so there was going to be football on our TV, but it hits a little bit different when you're involved.
It hit different yesterday. I was like, I had to work out around the time Rutgers was about to kick off. I think that was like 3, and I'm like, you know what? I'm turning Rutgers on.
Let's see what's going on the Big Ten Network.
Just to have football on.
There you go.
And little did I know, UMass was just going to run them out of their own building. I watched a lot of that game.
I actually, I will give you a tip of the cap. I had not even registered that that game had started. And I was walking around the house. I knew the Colorado game started at 5-ish. And so I'm like, all right, I'm trying to get stuff done before that game. Because that was the game I was most intrigued in last night.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember. We were texting about something else or something else was getting talked about. And I saw a text from you that said, UMass is putting it to Rutgers right now.
They were dominating.
Like, what? Oh, that's right. And I flipped on. And I think right when I turned it on, they scored the touchdown to go up 14-7.
Yeah.
And I was, here we go. Dude, I was glued to that until late into the fourth quarter.
I'm going to give you a week 1 college football take. Are you ready?
Give me deliver it right now. Give me your sizzler. UMass is going to the college football playoff.
No, but I did find it funny that UMass's coach is the former DC
at
for
Rutgers.
Schiano and
yes.
Rutgers. Yeah.
The funniest moment of that was I went back and listened to the Lanning interview on primetime because I'm curious if there's anything to take away or, you know, bring on the show.
Yeah.
And it was right when they were going up like 14-7 and they threw that at him and you could tell there was genuine shock in his voice. They were like, dude, UMass is giving it to Rutgers. And he was like, what? Yeah, they're up like 21-7.
The Minutemen were getting, like, oh, they were dominating the Scarlet Knights.
I think every Big Ten fan base did the same thing. Immediately rushed to their schedule and looked, do we play Rutgers this year? Are Rutgers on our schedule?
Well,
let's circle it right now.
Here is the take. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Deliver it.
Week one college football take. Dylan Longergan is the worst starting quarterback in the Power Four.
He was so bad.
I don't even care what the final – he ended up
so
throwing
bad.
242 yards on an 8.3 average. That is a lie.
Yeah. How many of those came on the open? Because they went down the field on the opening drive of the game. 75-yard touchdown. Boom. Here come the Scarlet Knights. And then did nothing the rest of the game.
He had four turnovers. He threw three awful picks and had a fumble.
There was a moment in that game where it was the epitome of a ball don't lie moment, because UMass got a pick and they called pass interference. And I don't know.
That was such BS.
I don't know what they were looking at. He overthrew a receiver and kind of tipped off his hands. The safety caught it. And you're like, oh my God, here comes. And the very next play.
Threw another one.
I think it was a fumble. It might have been a pick, but he turned the very next play. And you're like, ball don't lie. That should be UMass's ball. Give it to him, man.
You know what? I watched a lot of that game. The Georgia Tech game was in a bit of a weather delay.
Yeah.
And I haven't gotten off the feeling of, my program got relegated and makes $9 million a year, and Rutgers gets to make $90 million a year.
Yeah. They make double the amount of my school.
Absolutely ridiculous.
In a Big Ten television deal, Rutgers makes twice as much as my university.
You know, of all the things that are not fixed and that we need to change or implement.
Step number one.
Yeah, you have to have some semblance of, not normalcy, but you have to have some semblance of, like, reasoning to say, should Rutgers make $90 million a year?
Hey, what about that New York TV market, though, man? Come on.
If you lose,
catch the fever,
to the Massachusetts Minutemen,
who hadn't won a game in, like, a decade.
I don't know when they last won a game.
16-game
losing streak.
That's more than a season.
Insanity.
And that last win, I think, came against a lower-division school.
Right, a school we don't even know
of. Their last D1 win, I think, was around Halloween of 23.
I mean, every time you see UMass on a scorebook, don't you just see them down 45 points? That's UMass football. The funniest thing was when they were panning. It was, like, mid-third quarter. I still had the game on. I ended up doing a quad box for a while there.
Yeah.
They were panning, and they're going to the crowd, and, you know, Rutgers fans have basically left at this point.
They're gone. They're out of there.
They had UMass diehard football fans.
Like five of them. There's dozens of us.
And I was like, how do you even exist? What have you rooted for like my entire life?
There's no way you're still alive after a 16-game losing streak.
Yeah, I got it here. First win over an FBS opponent since they beat Army October 28th, 2023.
They were 0-12.
They haven't beaten an FBS team since 23.
Yeah, it's 2026.
23 straight against FBS opponents coming into the game.
They were 0-12 last year and did not score 21 points in any game against an FBS opponent. They, on their four first drives of the game, they had 24 points.
They were like 29-point underdogs.
They were 29.5 point dogs. That officially made it, from a point spread standpoint, to win outright, not cover, to win outright. That is a top 20 FBS upset of all time.
If you do point differential between final score and spread, I bet you that's got to be up there.
It's got to be the biggest in terms of what they ended up winning by.
Yes. And you're a 29.5 point
Rutgers,
underdog.
30-point dog.
This is the last team to lose outright as 29-plus point favorites was Texas.
Yeah, against Kansas.
Against Kansas, November 13th, 2021.
Remember they threw it to the 49-47 or whatever. I think they went
57-56 in overtime.
57-56, that's right.
That was a 2-point
conversion.
Texas was 31-point favorites.
Dude, this is borderline a fireable offense in week one.
Yeah, that you got to look yourself in the mirror after that game and ask a lot of hard questions.
They spent seven figures on that roster, by
the way. Yes, they're spending money on their football. Like, it's not Ohio State money, it's not Oregon money, it's not USC money,
How
Michigan
is that
money.
Your quarterback?
Not good.
It's just not good, man. Genuinely shocking to watch that, man. And to add on top of it too, like, to lose that game, it's embarrassing. The UMass history, all of that. How about to lose to maybe the coolest quarterback name of all time?
Oh,
Pop Watson the third.
Dude, you got lit up by Pop Watson the third.
You want to know how impressive this is? Okay, so he was 19 of 22 for 197 passing yards.
Efficient.
Three touchdowns. He is the first UMass player with 3 passing touchdowns and 80% or better completion in a game since 2008. When Liam Cohen was slinging it for the Minutemen.
Liam Cohen?
What? Did you just throw at me right now?
The Jags coach?
Yes.
That Liam Cohen?
He was a Minutemen quarterback? What? I didn't know that.
I had no idea,
That's
man.
That's a fun little factoid to start. Can I just also say, I enjoyed him. He's got some good receivers. Like,
yeah, they
might
not
be that bad this year.
I'm like, were all these guys on the team last year?
I think they quartered them all in, man.
I mean, look, Florida State beat Alabama in week one, so who knows how the rest of the season goes, but it sure as hell was fun.
If you are on the little bug when it shows your name, your first initial, last name, and then like your stats, you know, during the game, it shows that.
Yeah.
If on that it says P. Watson and then your stat, we need a rule that on any box score, whatever it is on that bug, which was obviously Pop Watson, it has to be that on the box score of every website, not William Watson III.
Yeah, it's not his actual first name.
I mean, but I don't care.
Right,
he's
you need
going
to change
by
it.
Pop Watson. Yeah. It's on the television screen.
It'd be like a stat line for me playing, and it says D. Johnson. You're like, well, who's D. Johnson?
Right.
That's not his actual name.
But if it
name.
Said Dirt Johnson.
Right, then you would know.
And then it goes to, and it's like Andrew Johnson. I'm like, no.
No,
ridiculous.
That's not cool, dude. Look, William Watson's a solid name. WW3 is a pretty good name.
Willie Watson.
Willie Watson.
Willie Watson. I mean, I'm not poo-pooing Willie Watson.
I'm not either.
But Pop is like an all-time nickname.
Pop is good.
We need more Pops in our lives.
We do.
Like, just that needs to be brought. Hey, what's up, Pop? Hey, what's up, Pops? That needs to be brought back.
That's what I call my dad because I can't call people dad.
You just go Pops?
Pops. He's in my phone as Pops.
Hey, what's up, Pops?
Yeah.
That is.
Feels uncomfortable for me to say dad for some reason.
I mean, I get it, you know.
So I just, Pops. I like saying Pops.
There's a lot of water under that bridge. I understand it.
Well,
you
it's
know?
Not, you know.
You come up with a different name. It works. Dude. Pops and dad's the same
Pops
thing.
Pops is a dad, you know.
Pops technically counts right there.
Yeah.
What a shocking way to start the season. Like, of all the things that could have happened last night, this is the beauty of college football. Not on anybody's bingo card. Not even on the radar that Rutgers was playing a game essentially last night.
Right.
We were doing Missouri, Arkansas, Pine Bluff in our updates yesterday because they're in the top 25.
Well, they're a ranked team.
Right, they're a ranked team. So I get, but like then nobody even knew that game was happening. And then you find yourself watching the Big Ten Network and a team going down.
It's one of those rare, like, I think on a Saturday, I never
that
check in on
totally
it.
Lost.
And I
totally
see it,
lost in the shuffle, yeah.
And we may mention it as like a small footnote on a Monday or whatever.
Could you believe the Rutgers lost on Saturday night?
But it just happened to be the first game of the night at 3:00. And I'm like, yeah, let's put some football on, get it going.
Right.
And I'm like, holy crap.
Rutgers, what happened?
Rutgers, you're
terrible.
They
scored on their first 5 drives.
They couldn't stop them. It was like,
they couldn't stop them. The run game was going. Yeah, Pop was slicing them up. It was
Pop slinging
the
rock.
It wasn't like some lucky, fluky win. They were dominating them.
No.
It's one their ass.
It's one thing to have, you know, an App State Michigan where it's a, you know, last second field goal gets blocked or whatever the case may be. It's another to completely die. And you just kept waiting, like, at some point is Rutgers going to do, like, they'll get back into the game, right? It's UMass. They got to find a way into the, and it just never happened, man. And a really tough night for the Big Ten over SEC depth argument.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody makes the argument, really. It's just the top of the conference, right?
There's this idea that it is the better conference, and it's just the bottom of the Big Ten is not good.
Can I ask you, this is one of those, like, this is an idea that's never going to happen because nobody would ever agree.
Should we
to
relegate
it.
Rutgers? Yes, we should.
Well, okay, it's kind
of out of the conference now.
It's in the wheelhouse, although I'd argue if you have them on the schedule, you're pretty happy about it because it's an automatic dub.
You're not wrong there.
In the way that we're kind of eliminating conference title games, or at least it seems like we're trending that way, and they're making it more like, you know, seeding, and then like
it'll
the final
sort of
couple spots.
Game
yeah, like a
play-in like
type game for the playoff.
Yeah.
What if we also took, because these conferences are way too loaded, what if we took X amount of teams out of the conferences, and then we took the X amount of teams in the group of 6, and they did some sort of mini playoff relegation and promotion.
It would be incredible. I would watch every second of
it. I have no clue. Oregon State tomorrow may very well get annihilated.
Could
I don't
dog
know.
Walked. Yeah.
Maybe they pull an upset.
We just saw a shocking one last night.
Exactly.
Who knows what's going to happen.
But I'll tell you this. If Oregon State can get on a neutral site field and play Rutgers,
I'm glued to it.
For $90 million a year.
A bid to the Big Ten for a 3-year window or whatever window you want to use.
I don't know how excited I'd be, but it'd rival like the last time they were ranked in the top 10 against Washington.
Yes.
The year that Mike Riley randomly had where they were like top 6 in the country of Beaver Juice. Yeah. Like
the Civil War comeback against Lanning, 19 straight runs.
Yes, it would be in that wheelhouse of like, oh my God, if they beat Rutgers, they're going to make $90 million a year.
It's one of the biggest reasons why the entire model of conference realignment is broken, is that we want this like siphoning of the power at the top, and then Rutgers exists. And it's
you don't do anything about the bottom of it.
It's ridiculous because of a New York TV market, breaking news. People in New York don't care about college football.
It's the most overrated talking point we use in college
15
sports.
Years ago, maybe it made sense, but now it certainly does not. Do you know what their records are in every year since joining the Big Ten? Their first year was 2014. In the Big Ten Conference. Here's what they've done every year. 8-5, 4-8, 2-10, 4-8, 1-11, 2-10. Shiano gets back there. 3-6, 5-8, 4-8, 7-6, 7-6, 5-7.
Yeah. And they love him. He's like,
I mean, he's a legend there. I don't know what else you really expect as a Rutgers fan. Not to lose to UMass is the easy response to that, but that's a tough one because of what he accomplished many moons ago and the legacy that he has at Rutgers. It's the only time their football program has ever been relevant in the modern time. So it's hard to run it. I mean, the Ray Rice thing, you know, they had a moment they got to number 2.
Coffee,
he jumped to the NFL. It was a blink of an eye, and it was gone, and they haven't done anything since then.
Right.
So I get why that's tricky. Like, yeah, you were officially on hot seat watch if you're Greg Schiano.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, I don't even know what his contract is. It's just more like this is why I probably, unless I became a billionaire, I would never donate.
Yeah.
Like if I donated
$7 million to lose to UMass.
If you donate like $1 million to a roster in college football and that's the result you get, I would immediately be on the phone with the AD.
I'd lose it.
Give me my money back.
You cut all those players
I don't care what legally we need to do. Give me my money back.
Get rid of all of them.
Are you kidding
me? They're playing pro bono until they get a win.
UMass? I thought that was our automatic win. What are we going to do in the Big Ten?
They've been one of the worst teams.
I saw they paid like $1.5 million or $1.6 million for that game.
Yes. You know what the cherry? 1.55.
You know what the cherry on top was at the end of the game? Did you see what Rutgers did after the game?
Yeah, they accidentally lit off fireworks.
It wasn't an accident. They had that was like their to try and get people to come because it's UMass. It's an opening. Like, nobody's going to want to buy a ticket to UMass. How do we get butts in the seats? Fireworks show after the game.
Yeah.
It is one. Go look up it is one of the saddest looking things ever because everybody was gone. They got smoked by UMass. Nobody was sticking around for after the game. There's like 12 people in the stands watching these fireworks.
They're all UMass fans
fireworks show outside of the stadium. That's one of the saddest losses in the history of football.
Tony Soprano rolling over in his grave, man. Are you kidding me?
Woke up this morning, chose to lose to UMass.
Get yourself a gun, man. It's over. Your season's a wrap.
We should now all come together. I'd like to convene my brothers in the Big Ten, and let's vote Rutgers out. What are we doing here? Purdue, you're next.
Does Washington play at Rutgers?
Let's pull up Rutgers' schedule. Who got them to see y'all?
That's what I don't know. I'm curious if any of our...
I don't think Oregon's got them. We played at Rutgers.
You guys played them last year.
Yeah, we played at Rutgers last year.
They get USC at home in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Indiana. Oh, what is Indiana going to do to them?
Oh, my God.
Well, that's going to be a...
My God, they killed them!
We're up 30. We play a lot of guys.
No Washington, no Oregon on
USC's
the schedule.
USC's the only West Coast team they got on their schedule.
I'll tell you what, though. If you're Wisconsin this year in desperate need of a dub, feeling pretty good. Nebraska, desperate need of a dub, you're feeling pretty good right now.
Are we saying that if Wisconsin gets absolutely steamrolled probably at Lambeau Field this weekend?
Although Notre Dame a little bit better than UMass, but no, to answer your question, probably not.
Well, you know, look, I love giving takes immediately on this sport because all of this is mostly stupid and you just don't know what's going to happen 5 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Losing to UMass, Patrick came in here Tuesday, I want to say it was, and was like thumping his chest, Purdue's the worst team in the Power Four. And I'm like, did you see NC State play?
They were
like,
pretty
well,
bad.
Purdue's worse. And I'm like, we going to hold that take today with Rutgers doing what they just did?
I think we got a new
candidate.
I don't
think we could say who the worst team is
yet. I think we got a new candidate. The Suctitude game next week, 9-11, is Rutgers at Boston College.
Who's been know who I'm rooting for? The red bandana team.
That's the red bandana game. They get up for that one every year. Yeah. I think Boston College is going to whoop them. And I believe
I love that take. You think Bill O'Brien's going to whoop Rutgers?
I do. That's my hot take right now.
I love that.
I think, let me see where Dylan Longren came from, because I've heard that name before too.
He is so awful.
Dude, yes, there was some really bad quarterback play yesterday. Like, even in the Colorado game, Lewis could not complete a pass until the last drive of the game.
No doubt about it. I mean, look, we expect rust in week one. Yeah. I don't know if Lewis is real
not. Longren is a Boston College transfer, so he was at Alabama.
We have a revenge game.
Bill O'Brien was the OC for a brief moment there with Saban before he retired.
That cat got an Alabama scholarship.
He transfers to Boston College and follows him. He threw 12 touchdowns, 5 picks last year, back into the portal, went to Rutgers. It's a revenge game for Dylan Longren.
How bad were the high schools he played to get a scholarship from Alabama? I'm telling you, I watched almost every second of that game, even to the end. I'm like, this guy is awful. He can't read anything. He has no idea what's happening. He can't hold on to the football.
He's a deer in headlights in the pocket.
It's terrible.
This is not going to end well for you,
Rutgers.
Makes
it even worse that you're telling me how much experience he has as a college football player.
He's a fourth year. This is his fourth year in college football. 2 years at Bama, 1 year at Boston College, 1 year now at Rutgers.
Get ready to learn media, buddy. Yeah. You're only playing pro ball, I'll tell you that much.
You'll be working in radio in about 5 years.
I did show my daughter. She discovered Family Feud because one of the screens, I think I had the Boston Orioles game as my quad.
And it went to Family Feud after.
And we got real upset by some of the answers or no answers in Family Feud.
Ends up being tied into the quad box. You're watching three football games, but listening to Family Feud simultaneously.
I mean, yeah.
It's the beauty of the quad box,
man. Colorado was on commercial. Yeah. I didn't care about UAB Illinois, so I'd put it on Family Feud. Minnesota's waxing Eastern Illinois, so I'd put it on Family Feud. One, Steve Harvey is absolutely checked out. That's just like an automatic paycheck. He doesn't care about.
I mean, how much is he making a year to do Family Feud?
I think he's making like $15 million.
An insane amount of money.
And I'm like,
tape like one day a week.
Dude, the effort he's giving, it's just, he doesn't even bother to learn people's names. Like, hi, what's your nickname? Q? I'll remember Q. All right, Steve.
Great. Top five reasons.
There were four.
Survey says.
Four things that could drive Santa Claus if he drank eggnog that was spiked. And three of the four got guessed, and we were guessing at my house what the fourth would be. So you had Mrs. Claus.
Yep.
You had the reindeer.
Reindeer could take
him. And you had the elf.
Yeah.
What would the fourth thing be in your brains? Because I was adamant it was this, and my wife and daughter were like, yeah, that could drive Santa if he was drunk.
Yeah.
And I guessed this. Nobody on the panels guessed it for either team. They revealed it, and we were outraged.
Can the elves not drive him?
The elves already picked.
Okay, they were already on there. Oh, there's four, okay.
So Mrs. Claus, the reindeer, and the elves. There's one more, and neither of these families could guess it.
They couldn't get it, huh?
So my guess, I was like, Frosty. Frosty the Snowman.
Can he fly?
Yeah, dude, he's in the sled in the cartoon movie. He saves Frosty. Takes him to the North Pole.
You're not wrong. That's very true. Gets him out of the humidor maroon.
What do you think the answer was? It wasn't Frosty.
Uber,
Tesla.
No, that's a funny answer.
Self-driving car.
Easter Bunny.
What?
Yeah.
Huh?
I was absolutely...
How the hell did the Easter Bunny get here?
Outraged.
Now we're converging holidays?
The whole thing is Christmas theme, and now we're going to the Easter Bunny?
Family Feud.
You got the wrong answer. I got the right answer. You got the wrong answer.
Tooth Fairy going to jump in there, too?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Could have said the Heat Miser, but...
There was some really gross categories, like, what would you use for toilet paper if you didn't have toilet paper?
Kleenex.
One guy said the toilet. So Steve Harvey started sliding his butt on... the dais of their, like, panel board.
Are we talking like you're scooping water out of the toilet?
No.
You're just
wiping.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
You're sliding. Mm. Slide to the left.
Slide to the right.
Slide to the right.
Cha-cha slide.
Cha-cha one time.
I mean, the song is a banger.
It is.
Every time it comes on, you move.
People were playing it at the Hood to Coast Exchanges. It's like, oh, my God, we're doing the...
What is it? 1999
right
again?
Now, what is happening? Going on? All right, well, we got a lot to get to today. College football on the docket, the story that just refuses to die. Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. And the last stop of our dirty poll at 7:30, is it Boise State?
Could be Boise State.
I don't know, man.
Could be the Huskies.
Come on.
I mean, let's be real here.
I don't know if there's any scenario, even if they were loaded, where you'd put them number one. All right, we'll make a stop on the dirty pole, touch on all the college football this week, and a couple NFL things to get to on the notes. Dirt and Sprague, let's get it going on a Football Friday on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging with 80 plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll open the cafe up coming up at the top of the hour. We'll make our dirty pull stop at 7:30, the number one team in all of the land, according to one Andy Dirt Johnson, even though he really thinks it's the team he's wearing today.
This is the year.
I'll stay tuned for the cafe. There might be more of that. Rat poison.
Another rat poison, another pill, huh? Yeah, it was funny hearing Isaac and Suk being like, yeah, you can't really do that little team Mount West thing this year, Dan. Nobody's giving us a chance. Don't take our motivation away. All right, we got to do what we got to do.
We'll get into the college football docket, the slate this weekend. We will talk about, I know it's annoying, but there was actual stuff that happened yesterday in regards to the eligibility of NFL players who now want to be college guys again. Cam McCormick could never, but we'll get into that. Some lawsuits that have been filed.
Guy played till he was 37.
I love that guy was allowed to play 9 years, but it's controversial for some guys to play a fifth year.
Medical red shirts.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
I also love how
nine
we are
years. That's totally normal.
Collectively only freaking out over one team. That's it. Because your team got a couple of guys back, and I think everybody in agreement's like, that's good. Oregon State needs the help.
But one of those guys reportedly asked his coach to let him go so he could go to college.
Yes, yes.
Hey, I don't want to make the team. Can you cut me?
They're going to offer me like $4 million this year.
We'll get to this Rutgers fan freak out. We have audio of that. They actually had a fan call in to WFAN and lose his mind. And I'm like, God, how about that? There's Rutgers fans that are real.
To the question on either side of that, why were UMass fans still around? More power to you if you held through all that. And then Rutgers fans, man, if that's not the end of the road, I don't know what the end of the road is.
Do you believe now?
You eat some almonds last night? You get your almonds on?
I ate a couple before I went to bed.
That was a tough watch for a while, and then things finally turned up late in the game.
Can I say that you can have games where clearly team's offense sucks, but like you're still wildly captivated by it for some reason?
Oh, without a doubt, because it's a one-score game, and one player, one moment's going to change everything, and that's what happened last night.
Like Colorado, to me, I don't know how you guys felt about it. I don't know if I'd say dominate, but I thought they were clearly the better team in the first half.
They outrushed Georgia Tech by a significant margin, which was not something I had on my bingo card.
And then they score a touchdown finally just to immediately give up the game-time touchdown on the kickoff.
Right after that.
Deion Sanders' special teams came up clutch at the very end, but it was a disaster most of the night.
Yes, it was.
It blocked field goals, gave up a kickoff return. Not good. And then it's a low-scoring affair with no offense to speak of. Mendoza's little brother has no time, and he's not very good.
Yeah.
Julian Lewis is an 18-year-old five-star prospect making his start just, 40 miles from his hometown. He looks all of 18 years old. He's terrible. And I'm watching Colorado against Georgia Tech with Brent Keyes, where it's one thing to say Colorado wins, Dirt. It's another to be like, dude, Colorado had the better defensive line and running game.
Shocking.
And that was shocking to me.
Genuinely shocking. If you would have told me they would have found a way to win, that would not have been the reason that I picked. And if you would have told me Julian Lewis's stat line, like, hey, Dirt, tomorrow I'm going to tell you he goes 14-27 for 120 yards and averages 4 yards per attempt. And until the final drive of the game, I don't believe he completed a pass that traveled 5 air yards. Like, it was horrendous, their passing. If you would have told me that yesterday, I would have said Colorado's going to get smoked tonight. And they controlled the majority of the game. Without special team snafus, they probably should have led the majority of the night. They were moving the ball more consistently than Georgia Tech. That is something that has been the calling card of Brent Key. It's running the football in the line of scrimmage play. He's a former offensive lineman. He's got the famous drop we all play. Run the ball. That's Brent Key. And so for Colorado to go in and do that to them, it was eye-opening, man, of like how can they go the rest of the year? They're going to have a limited passing attack. I don't get a lot of stock in Julian Lewis in the last drive. Like, he looked lost and confused the majority of the night. But when they needed him to come up with plays, he came up with plays, and that's all that mattered at the end of the game.
Yeah, my takeaway wasn't so much like how good can Colorado be. Like, we talked about yesterday, can they make a bowl game? And I just said yes. I didn't know if they'd win yesterday. The one thing that caught my eye about them I forgot they were the program that hired the Sac State guy who was supposedly a offensive whiz.
Brennan Marion.
He left the head coaching gig to be the OC, and I think they've had that happen twice now at Colorado with Deion, where they get a head coach to leave to be a coordinator.
Right.
You know, again, their offense didn't have much to speak of through the air. I thought Lewis was pretty terrible most of the night. I loved their play calls.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily a play calling thing.
Yeah,
they just couldn't execute it.
Was really good, and I was really surprised how well their front seven held up against Justice Haynes, who transferred in from Michigan. That's what I enjoy about Week 1 college football is the amount of like, oh, that's right. Justice Haynes went to Georgia Tech.
19 carries for 64 yards, one run of longer than 10 yards all night.
Well, and I think that was in the beginning. That was in the first quarter.
Early in the game, maybe even on the opening drive of the game.
And Colorado's, you know, their front did it. Now, I don't think it means much of like, I'm taking Colorado to compete in the Big 12. I'm not going that far.
No.
But, you know, like, he's leaned heavily on the portal and not so much the high school recruiting. He hit 1 year, and then there's two seasons it didn't work out, although to give him a little bit of a pass, fighting cancer during a season, probably not easy.
Sure.
You know, I don't know what it means from a win-loss perspective. That's a nice road dub for Deion and Colorado.
There's no doubt about it, and I will say, like, the atmosphere of the game was great. Georgia Tech's crowd was great. Colorado winning was probably the best-case scenario. Like, it's just they're fun for college football. Deion elicits opinions.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, there's a bit of a aspect the last couple of years where I don't know if you could ever officially do this to Deion, but I do think them as a program and their fan base and the loud online stuff has been humbled, right? Last year was pretty ugly. It didn't go great for them. Now, to your point, it's fair that like dealing with cancer is not an easy thing to deal with while you're trying to coach a football team.
Yeah.
But them winning and them being relevant is good for the sport.
I agree.
It's entertaining. He's going to say something after the game that's going to make you laugh. He had some bars afterwards where he's like, you know, basically, I thought we were small. Thought we couldn't run the football, and they outran Georgia Tech by 100 yards. Like, dude, you talk your S. You backed it up.
Yeah, but he loves to do the week one win talk the S, and not the speak for itself talk the
no
S.
No doubt, you know, about it. It'll probably bite him in the ass again this year, and they're going to lose to Weber State next week for all I know.
They won like three more games after he beat TCU. He was like, you believe now?
Right.
Like, I don't know, man. Why are you attacking Ed Werder so hard?
I think they went 3-0 and then ended the season 4-8 the rest of the way. So we've seen a season crumble for them, and that might be the case again for Colorado. The bigger takeaway, honestly, though, other than I just thought it was cool that Deion won last night, that was fun. The Georgia Tech one is a bit alarming for me. You're a program that's supposed to be built on line of scrimmage play. Colorado was bigger and stronger than you. Mm-hmm. You brought in one of the prize recruits in the portal at running back. He had 64 yards on 19 carries. You brought in Alberto Mendoza up, and you know, you're hoping, hey, let's the G is the DNA the same year, right? We're getting the same quarterback. And you could tell pretty early on that, nope, that's, you know, he made a couple of plays. He had the completion on the last drive that put him into field goal range. Not his fault that they missed an early field goal and that they had one blocked. But he struggled mightily for large chunks of the night. Ball security was a bit of an issue with the weather.
He holds it too long. His brother has a little bit of that problem, and he does too. He holds it a little too long by his back peddling.
Yes.
So the D lineman sacks him, and it's not just like a 4-yard loss, it's a 12-yard loss.
And it kills drives. Yeah. I think you're also realizing in real time that it helps and is incredibly beneficial to be 6'6" like Fernando Mendoza. Yeah. Alberto Mendoza, not quite 6'6". And so when you get bottled up in the pocket, you can't quite see the way that your taller brother can. And again, it's one game. Maybe Georgia Tech goes on a run the rest of the way. They settle in and find their identity. Indiana barely beat Old Dominion in week one last year, and they won the damn national championship. It just, like, I came into that game thinking Georgia Tech might be able to make some noise in the ACC this year. They've been close. They've been knocking on the door. They pulled off some big upsets. And again, I'm not throwing that out after one game, but if I'm a Tech fan, I'm like, what the hell was that?
There's no doubt. I mean, it's the first week, so maybe they'll gel a little bit more. The run game will eventually get going, and Mendoza will feel more comfortable. That's a tough thing with football, NFL, or college, is you only get one a week. And
right. We have he hasn't played a ton of football.
You have
either.
A whole week to talk about what did we just see, and is it going to get fixed? And you go to the next game. I more had the takeaway of, I know it's his alma mater, but is Brent Keyes going to regret not being maybe more active or proactive of leaving? And I'll say this. I want Georgia Tech to be relevant. It's one of those weird off-brand teams that, like, I like when they're good.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Just something about the Yellow Jackets and the GT and
the car unis. Driving onto the field, yeah, open the game.
I like it. It's like an inner city university that's a really good academic institution. And
yeah.
I love all of that. But he's also got a good reputation. I wonder if he looks back eventually and goes,
dang it.
Should have jumped while the moment presented itself. But he's a loyal guy. And maybe they turn it around and they win 8 games this year. Who the hell knows where their season's going?
Next week they got – let me see if it's a neutral site game or a home game. I don't know.
Who do they play next week?
Tennessee.
Tough one, but that is a freshman.
They get him at home. So. They got a night game at home against Tennessee.
It's a big one for Brent Keyes.
You turn it around, you win that game. Everybody's kind of forgotten.
We'll get to the lawsuit and the eligibility stuff coming up. We got Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague at the top of the hour. Let's play this. This was Gus, the Rutgers fan. So he's calling into W. A W fan does a post game on Rutgers?
I think they just have live programming at night.
Okay. Yeah, it could have just been somebody who wanted to fire away.
What did you say?
I think it was Zach Gelb.
It was the Zach Gelb show. Yeah. Yes, on WFAN.
Formerly afternoon national radio host for the Infinity?
I believe it's the Infinity Sports Network.
They changed their name.
They did, yeah.
One of the worst branding things I've heard in my life. Infinity? What?
To Infinity and beyond.
Well, okay, so Zach Gelb is now a night host on the WFAN
station. I believe so.
Station, yes. And he had Gus, the Rutgers fan, call in. Rutgers gets steamrolled by UMass. We talked about that. Here is Gus, the Rutgers fan.
Gus, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I'm ending it because I'm a 20-year season ticket holder.
Oh.
I've traveled all across the country for this team.
Why?
I have tickets next week to go to Boston College for the Red Bandana game.
Sell them.
I have an Airbnb booked for the Wisconsin game to go to Chicago to watch Monongai play on Sunday night. I'm done. I'm canceling everything. It's done. And it's not emotional. Taking the emotion out of it as best I can.
Nope.
I'm done. What I saw tonight was the most deplorable, despicable, horrible adjustments on defense from being the worst team in football last year, in college football, defensively, to what they did this year, and now what they did tonight. I'm done.
It's not emotional.
I love. If anybody ever tells you it's not emotional, it's definitely emotional.
After your team gets,
it's not an emotional decision. I've sat and thought about this for a long time, all of 17 minutes since the game ended. This is not a knee-jerk reaction.
After it took me a week to secure all these tickets and reservations all over the country.
Immediate follow-up if you get a caller like that on your show is, why are you traveling following Rutgers football? What do you think is going to happen?
That's kind of my take. 20
Rutgers
years
sucks, man.
For 20 years, and that's your break point. By the way, they have like a 2-win season in there.
It is really funny when you think about it. Because he's, you could argue, maybe a front-running Rutgers fan. 20 years ago, what happened? What year was it 20 years ago?
06?
Yeah.
Was that Ray Rice?
That was 11-2.
Dude.
11. It was 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
This cat season, 11-2 Rutgers team jumps on board. Season ticket holder.
I
here
mean,
we go.
He's at least stuck it out for 20 years.
They've won 9 games twice since then.
Yeah, that's tough.
Like, dude, back away now.
I love that he's going to Chicago to watch the running back.
Kyle Manungai.
Manungai.
I'm going to go see Manungai play for the Bears.
All right. Good stuff. College football delivers last night. It was nice to have it on the screen, man.
It was great. It was awesome.
Even Illinois UAB was weird in the first half.
It
they
was.
Got a Hail Mary at the end. And
I didn't realize Chris Mortensen's kid is the head coach at UAB. I totally forgot about that. I knew he was coaching, but I didn't know he was the head coach.
Well,
there.
He looked familiar, and I'm like, I feel like I couldn't tell if my brain thought that was Pat Casey's oldest son
or somebody.
I'm like, I know this cat.
It's somebody's kid, man.
And I looked it up during the game, and I was like, that's right. Mortensen's kid is the head coach.
Now we just need things to get weird tonight down on the farm and Lincoln Riley to get backdoored again so I get more excuses.
Fresno
like
State
14
hanging.
People in the stands tonight.
Oh, my God.
Deliver it to me, football guys.
Could you
please.
Imagine if Fresno won tonight?
If I start getting those, they already did it earlier this week, the Lincoln Riley Mickey Mouse voice edits for his press conferences.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't a real thing. We've gone up in attendance every year. It's one of my favorite videos that exists.
Can we start pulling those?
I'll find the one from earlier this week.
Because I'd like to play some of
them.
They
are so good, dude. I think it's an Oklahoma fan who's just doing it and trolling, but I appreciate the effort, man.
A little bit more college football coming up next. The cafe is going to open at the top of the hour and the number one stop for the dirty poll. Coming up next, though, the ruling on this with an immediate follow-up. We also have a lawsuit involved. So we'll get to some of that next on The Fan.
Every week on The Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at Prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, what if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.
All right, the cafe will open up at the top of the hour. We'll get to the number one team in the dirty poll, and then we'll dive into discussing Oregon-Boise State. Pre-game tomorrow starts at 8 a.m. down in Eugene, Oregon, with Anthony Newman, Andy Dirt Johnson, Dusty the Brand Man Hera.
Hello.
And others.
Others. Jorgie will stop by. He always stops by. He says hi.
Okay, quick.
Yes.
Behind the curtain, little taking it to the air thing.
Let's peekaboo.
So 2 days ago, peek-a-boo. Dusty went to, or 3 days ago now, I guess it'd be, peek-a-boo. Went down to Eugene. He goes to Eugene once a week. He does a great job on the sidelines and, you know, keeping a relationship with Oregon in the station. And Swag goes, is Dusty in Eugene today? And you and I were like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't get those text messages.
Yeah. I had a feeling he was in Eugene because he was picking up my credential for the season. And I remembered him saying something about, I'll be down there. I'll grab it for you. And I thought he said Tuesday.
Well, maybe 5 minutes later, Dusty texts all of us and said, I'm in Eugene. And then we said, Swag didn't know. And he said, I literally told him yesterday.
Yeah, literally said, we're going to Eugene.
Swag maintains he still doesn't remember that.
No.
And then
fast
forward.
He's going fake news on the brand, man.
Well, sometimes he pops his head in and starts yapping while the show's going on. And I'm focused on something in here. And I'm like,
he's TCBing in there. He didn't have time to listen.
So fast forward, like 2 days later, you had found out that because you tried to get Jorgie on the program yesterday.
I was texting with Jorgie the other night, yeah.
And he couldn't do it. And then you asked him about the pregame, and he goes, oh, am I doing that?
Yeah, miscommunication.
And you saw Dusty again, and you go, Dusty, Jorgie seems a little confused. And Dusty goes, I told him.
We had a conversation.
So now I'm wondering, is Ooh. Dusty telling people?
Oh, could it be a brand man problem?
Or do we have old whites everywhere that don't remember anything
I'm
they
an
hear?
Old white, and I don't know what you said.
It's what it feels like.
It's like when you try those things, try and pull a fast one on your wife, like you book a golf round, put it on the counter. Like, no, I told you about that. What are you talking about?
Right.
I totally told you about that.
Absolutely.
I mean, like 2 weeks ago, I said I'm going to play golf on Thursday. What are you talking about?
Yesterday, we got the annoying story that continues to be annoying. Daquan Wright and Xavier Harris were cleared by a judge in Baton Rouge to continue playing college football. Yeah.
Did you see the picture of the judge, by the way?
I did not. I saw the...
Did he have a bow tie?
One of the judges who was going to be presiding over some of this and hearing part of this evidence started an interview outside of the courthouse with a Go Tigers. And I believe the presiding judge in the case took a picture with a coach on the LSU staff...
Holding up the L?
Holding up the L. Mm. Yeah. So go Tigers. Mm. Go Tigers.
We have a lot we need to change in this country. I'd argue we need to strip like a lot of judges away because you should never be allowed to be doing that.
Back to the
How is that somebody making an actual ruling on
maybe a conflict
Texas
of interest?
Case? We I had do. A judge, he recused himself.
Because he was a Red Raider.
But like I was shocked he did it and didn't just say, I'm a Red Raider. Sorsby's good.
This is where I think Sam Levitt was right. Louisiana doesn't seem like a real place. Is that a real place?
No. No.
I saw an LSU guy earlier this week. It was like, how do you think this court case is going to go? Look at every judge in the state of Louisiana. 9 out of 10 of them graduated from LSU.
Well, so here's the weird part.
what do you think they're going to decide?
The judge grants them the right to play. Daquan Wright is ready to play, says he's going to play for the Clemson game.
They added another player, by the way, to the mix, a former Utah corner that they're now trying to come to an agreement with today.
Xavier Harris is not medically cleared. They think he'll be ready by the time they play Ole Miss, which makes that even more interesting. And you've had a lot of people pop off on this topic. It appears Daquan Wright is going to play tomorrow against Clemson in primetime. But you also at the same time have the SEC and Greg Sankey filing a lawsuit federally against LSU.
Yeah, you need that injunction today.
So you have this ruling of these guys are eligible, and then you have the guys losing that ruling going, actually, we're going to take this to a different place to say you can't play. You have the SEC schools voting to not allow former NFL players to do this, and LSU is the lone school in the SEC. I think it's ridiculous, but I've been wrong before. These ridiculous takes of the SEC should kick out LSU, it's like, that's not going to happen. It's not going to get to that place. This whole thing has been, it's a circus. It's hard to follow. It's kind of annoying.
Incredibly annoying.
And it's not going away. Maybe we get a ruling before the show's over or by the time
this afternoon hits. This is why we go back to weeks and months ago. And I know that it wasn't perfect. I know that there were a lot of things in there that fans didn't love. This is why we need federal legislation. This is why. Because if you don't have it, this is going to happen every year. And all it takes is finding a judge that agrees with you.
Well, you just file
a coach
in your county.
You just file in your county. You find a coach that's willing to push the boundaries of what the rules are. And it doesn't matter how pissed off the rest of the sport is. I'm with you. The SEC would never kick out LSU. It's all bluster for them right now. The biggest question in the short term, because LSU's not going to lose their ability to play in the SEC. Like, it won't come to that. The bigger question to me in the short term is, are there punitive damages that other schools could inflict on LSU in the short term that would make them say, we can't do this? Like, do you get somebody saying, we're not going to play LSU this year? Or do you get the College Football Playoff Committee to say,
what if they do if Clemson does this?
Right, we're not going to play.
And then they just do the Kaepernick knee thing and they say, we're not playing.
Until those two guys are off the field, we're not playing the game. Like, it's not going to come to that. But
wild moment.
That's the only kind of relevant question in my head right now, because it just seems like a lot of bluster in the media and a lot of hot takes and threatening of lawsuits. And it's like, well, none of that is really actually going to happen. How serious are you about this, SEC? You can't even control your own ranks anymore. You spent the entire offseason yelling about, we're going to break away, do our own thing. We're too good for this. We're not getting enough teams in the College Football Playoff. And now we're on the brink of the season starting, and you're filing lawsuits against each other. You don't know who's going to be available to play. The SEC is going to federal court. LSU is going to state court. I mean, it is an absolute mockery of the system. And I understand, again, that not everything in the bill was perfect, and there was a lot of faults, and there's progress that needed to be made.
Yeah.
I want legislation so we don't have to deal with it. We just know what, here are the rules. Those are the rules, and you can't file a lawsuit to change the rules when you don't agree with them.
Yeah, but the legislation you're asking for would require a working body of government to actually do their jobs.
That
and
is
they
very
just
true.
Took an extended recess after basically having the whole month off. It's not going to happen this year.
In the short term, it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
no.
For this season, this is just what you have to deal with. These random county rulings mixed with federal lawsuits, and then like here's what I am far too stupid. I will admit this. There's a lot of things about the legal system I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I'm just like going to tell myself that no matter what the federal lawsuit ends up being, they're somehow going to be allowed to file an immediate appeal that will then get them an injunction, which will then follow an immediate different countering law. Like, I just...
Right.
When does it end? And it just feels like it never does end. And, yeah, Do you feel very strongly about this issue?
I do. I think once you put on an NFL uniform, that should be it for you in college. And I understand that it's unfair that the rules were changed and the fifth-year eligibility was granted, or sixth-year, whatever it was.
It was the fifth year.
Fifth-year eligibility was granted after they had made the decision to go to the NFL, and you can make the argument that maybe they would have changed their mind. That's just life, man. Like, that's just the way it works sometimes. If you're good enough off of your college career to get an invite to an NFL camp and have a chance to make an NFL roster, you've gotten what you needed to get out of college football.
I love the way you put that. It's life. Like, we talked very briefly yesterday, like, and I remember doing the interview with Cliff Robinson, RIP.
Yes.
Cliff Robinson in the modern era makes as a 6'10 shooter.
Amen Thompson just got $200 million.
Yeah, he's making at minimum $100 million right. on one contract at some point, but he didn't play in the era. He missed the win, and he told us. He was like, yeah, dude, I think about that all the time. Like,
would you not?
He made good money, but he could have made so much more in this era.
Yep.
It's no different here. It's like, I'm sorry, Daquan Wright. I know he's going to play tomorrow, but like, I'm sorry this happened to you so late, and if you knew, you'd stay and all that, but like, it happened.
Yep.
Move on.
Move on, man.
I don't understand, from his perspective, too, they had the lawyer speak. Did you listen to her?
I did not hear the lawyer,
dude,
no.
So I just happened to be in my car. I had the fan on. Mm-hmm. They had the national show going, and they played the attorney. I forget her name. She goes on this big thing about how this is right, and they should be allowed because of the ruling on the fifth year. Do you know what she tried to sell us at the end of her little statement on the steps? She goes, and they're playing for love of the game, not for money.
Get out of here.
Like, you're telling me Daquan Wright has no money that he's making to play for LSU this year?
Zero financial incentive to come back?
So he's just recruited by Lane in a phone text.
Pro bono?
To leave an NFL team to be in college again, and he's doing it all for the love of the game? Come on, dude.
That's the equivalent of live guys being like, I'm just doing this to spend more time on my family. Like, right. No, you're not. That's okay. You want more money. I don't blame you. Everybody wants more money, but don't lie to my face and act like I don't know what day it is.
It's an annoying story, and it's not going away. And yesterday it took another step, so we'll have to kind of wait and see on this federal lawsuit with the SEC versus LSU. A loaded second hour of the program, the number one stop in the dirty poll, but we kick it off opening up Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague, hour two on The Fan.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.